Netflix is back with their rights to produce animated Godzilla content. So this time around, Toho reaches out to director Atsushi Takahashi to do whatever he wants with the property. Will a fresh take somewhat in the vein of Shin Godzilla work well in animated form? Or is more of my Netflix money about to go down the drain? Find out with us as we explore this week. This is Kaiju versus History, Godzilla Singular Point.
Welcome back to Kaiju versus History. This is your omnidirectional, discombobulating, orthogonal, diagonalizer, Patrick here. And joining me is the cutest little AI puppy you've ever seen, Miles. Hey, Miles.
Hey, I get that a lot. I'm an adorable artificial intelligence. Just living here in your listening device.
I've got my May Camino Funko Pop, which I think I actually meant to send to you at some point. It's still in the box.
Oh, man!
But it's got a little...
I forgot they made some Singular Point. I've been on the lookout for them, because what all did they make? So I know they made May, Jet Jaguar, and Godzilla?
Did they make a Jet... I feel like I would own Jet Jaguar if they had made it.
I can't believe they make May Kamino and not Jet Jaguar, right?
I think they just made May, and I think they just made a couple of versions of Godzilla Ultima, the final form that looks the most like Godzilla.
You are right. That's insane. How did they not make Jet Jaguar?
I would have been on top of Jet Jaguar if they had made a toy version.
That was kind of the breakout star of the show.
Yeah. Yeah. And it redeems that robot, that character, so much.
I've always loved Jet Jaguar, you know that.
Annals, but I will say, is, you know, a one-time kaiju creation and probably didn't come back for a reason, came back and is probably one of the best, I would say, modernizations of a concept ever in Godzilla history, at the very least.
Yeah, I would probably agree with that. Like, I'm trying to think of other things that I've liked they've done.
Maybe Kiryu is like a better, you know, Mecha Godzilla, but
Kiryu is just a better design.
I would say Mecha Godzilla is great by itself, and Kiryu is a very cool concept that, you know, there's Godzilla bones in it. But this Jet Jaguars is multiple things as well. You know, we'll talk about it when we get to talking about the kaiju in this show, but Godzilla goes over and has several changes. Jaguar has some upgrades throughout this series.
We get a couple people or creatures we hadn't seen like at all, and then like references to so many things.
Yeah.
But before we get into any of that, Patrick, tell us what's in a title.
Oh, you know we're talking about Singular Point this week. March of 2021, this came out in Japan. I think we got it not too long after that in April. So not super long after Godzilla versus Kong came out. So, you know, there's some synergy with Godzilla in your streaming services, on the big screen, on other streaming services day one with that movie.
Did it also have an actual airing in Japan on television?
It did. And I believe, and I don't think I was watching it when it came out, I think it was both a weekly Netflix and television release.
No, I think we had it all at one time.
Okay. I will say then we probably, yeah, if we got it all at once, maybe it was at the end of the Japanese run. I wouldn't understand why they would do that, but they do very much like having animes on television in Japan. You know, like, you know, when I was over there, there was like full anime episodes on like just regular TV, I guess in prime time is how I would describe it. So I found that very interesting. But the fact that something like this would be, you know, just like an episode a week, I mean, maybe that's a good thing because it gives you time to like think about what you just watched with this show.
Right.
Singular Point, SP, it is abbreviated in the Japanese title, Gojira SUP. singular point in a lot of translations in Thailand. The title was Godzilla Genesis of World's End. A great title as well. And another places this translated to, instead of singular point, singularities. And, you know, when we're talking about that, singularity is probably was being referenced in the singular point in both the title and the plot of the show. And a singularity is a whole bunch of different stuff depending on the scientific aspect that we're talking about. If you're talking about physics, a singularity is like a black hole where everything is, you know, on top of each other. In mathematics, a singularity is when in a function you begin to approach non-definition. So like something that is beyond the bounds of what the function is explaining. And in technology, maybe the worst one, a singularity is often talking about the robot apocalypse or AI apocalypse, when we get to a point where AI or computers can improve themselves better and faster than we can improve them, and we kind of lose control of them, and they're like, why are we allowing humans to be here? And they just kill everybody. Hilariously enough, all three of those things are kind of explored in Godzilla Singular Point. There's almost as much super science in this show as there are kaiju, and there's a lot of kaiju in this show. Boy howdy, what a nice little reprieve after watching three Godzilla Netflix films, Miles, that we get show with five different kaiju, I would say. Probably more, but like, you know, actual kind of named kaiju. I mean, really like 10 or 12 if we're kind of like variations of Godzilla and things. But a lot of cool monsters, a lot of new designs for monsters and classic monsters. In the show, Singular Point is kind of like a crossing over point in our universe. I don't know if you got deep into reading about descriptions of what the show is about, Miles, but, you know, they often talk about how if you're in a 2D world, if something 3D came into your 2D world, you would only be able to see like slices of it at a time, like 2D slices of, like, you know, someone's finger touching your 2D world. A singular point in this show is kind of the same thing, but in the fourth dimension, like with time travel. And it is a crossover point from the fourth dimension in, I think, basically that hole in the laboratory in the show where things can go backwards in time. And that is kind of like, I think, how they are able to stop Godzilla at the end of this show is things happen backwards through time through the singular point that allows them to upgrade Jet Jaguar and stop Godzilla. Miles, this is probably the longest title discussion in our podcast history, because not only do we have that title, the title of the series, there are 13 episodes in the show, and they all have different insane titles, some of which are, you know, pretty standard. I guess I would describe them Explorer, Theorist, Together, Relaunch. But then you get some weird words in here. You're like, what? Terzetto is the name of the first episode, and that's like a musical composition of like three voices, a terzetto. Emphatico, Gadabout, what else? Erumpment. I had to Google some of these to figure out what they were. And I mentioned to you every single title of these 13 episodes is 8 characters long. So 8 letters in English, but also in the Japanese, it is 8 kanji characters. And I don't know who figured this out. I was looking at the Wikizilla kind of entry on this. If you take the 8 titles and arrange them like first letter to last letter, so I have to go look at the the picture that I sent you. The O at the end of Terzetto goes into the title Omniarch, which starts with an O. And then the H at the end of Omniarch is at the end of Relaunch. And if you arrange all these titles, you can make a 2D representation of a 3D cube where all the titles are the vertices. And there's only 12 sides of a 3D cube. So if you take the corners and the letter of each corner makes the 13th episode title, which is Together. Miles, the show is insane. Is the long and short of this discussion here. I highly recommend people go read the WikiZilla entry about the titles blown away by how much thought they just put into the titles of the episodes.
This show is so carefully constructed and written and plotted. It's one of those shows like I can't believe it exists. And especially as part of the Godzilla franchise, like, and
especially following the three Godzilla animated movies. Right.
I mean, that's the thing, is like this series is exactly what I wanted from both the Godzilla animated trilogy and, frankly, Shin Godzilla. This takes ideas that were utilized or present in Shin Godzilla and really, I think, takes them to their absolutely weirdest conclusion. And I feel like that was the route, because Shin Godzilla is such a topical political film for like 2016 Japan, as opposed to being a very weird science fiction movie. In an alternate universe, this is what Shin Godzilla was.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And spoiler alert, boy, howdy, do I love it.
We don't give the same ratings to shows that we do the movies in this, but like, this is a 10 out of 10 show.
Oh,
it's really
without a doubt
only on the level of Neon Genesis Evangelion for me, which is funny because it did not do that well with audiences.
It's weird. I feel like it's one of those kind of cult things where like the longer time passes, the more people come to the show and be like, oh, whoa, did you see this? Because I mean, you talk about the Funko Pops, those didn't come out until like somewhat recently.
Yeah.
and I mean, I still hear rumblings every now and then of like, because and this is absolutely true in the anime, 14 years can pass and then all of a sudden you get a season two. Like, I mean, boy, the devil was a part-timer, I think, it was like a near decade it got a season two. And so I keep hearing rumblings about a potential season two. I don't really know what else you need to do. I think the show is pretty successful in being a weird companion to the Godzilla franchise. And I think my favorite thing about it, and I think I've mentioned this to you, is it feels like I'm watching an adaptation of a tabletop RPG campaign. It reminded me of like, because I used to listen to RPPR. This is way before a lot of bigger podcasts and stuff. Ross Payton's Role Playing Puppet Radio. He would do these World of Darkness homebrews using kind of creepypasta. Like he did a Slender Man one. He did a Camel Cove one. And the World of Darkness campaigns always kind of started off small, like you and a buddy or you and your little party, I think it was a party of like three, are sent to like do some sort of light investigation of something, which then kind of snowballs into something else. And then, save the world. And in the same way, this starts off small. These two guys are getting calls about weird disturbances on this old European mansion in the on the Japanese like countryside. Mm-hmm. There's tell of, you know, lights flickering when it's been abandoned for 30 years and shouldn't have any power, all this stuff. And it's like, oh, cool. We have this kind of like urban legendy kind of creepy pasta style opening. Or maybe like, you know, if you're into like things like number stations, like it has that kind of weird fiction aspect at the very beginning in terms of like, oh, this is kind of a fun little exploration thing, which then opens up this entire crazy, like pseudo hyper science version of the kaijus as we know them. And we get to see some creatures that like, or versions of creatures that have largely been unused for decades, like Amanda.
Yeah. I was surprised by that. I was pleasantly surprised that we got kind of like updated versions of the spiders, Kumonga.
Cool.
I kind of wish we had seen, you know, larger versions, but the Anguirus, very interesting adaptation.
So cool.
Yeah. Of that. The Rodan, I wasn't like a huge fan of because they're very Jurassic Park, but I did like that they went with like a bold, different take. And technically we got a new kaiju in the form of Lunga, which is like
that one at the bottom
lizard
of that.
Ape. Yeah. Kind of looking one. A lot of people thought it looked like, what's his name? The bully from Nia's film.
Oh, a little bit. And also there's so many
Gabbara. Yeah.
there are so many like references in like plush dolls and cell phone cases of kaiju past. Mm-hmm. And I will say I was with you about Rodan the first time I watched it. I was like, yeah, I kind of wish it like was like an individual, like singular creature that had some zip to it. But this second time that I watched it for the show, I was like, you know what? I'm actually super into this idea.
Well, I tell you, I ended up loving it is because they turn the Rodan into like a worldwide threat.
Yeah.
Very similarly to the threat in the Gamera films from the 1990s, the Gauss in the Gamera films. It's like, oh man, if these things keep eating, like they're just going to propagate and we're not going to be able to stop them. You know, there'll be too many of them. So I thought that was interesting. I thought like the red mist was very interesting. Obviously, I think it's at the end of the first episode, we see a giant set of Godzilla bones at the bottom of this research station, electrical plant. Godzilla's skeleton is also like the end credits kind of spoiler at the end of the season for a Kiryu-like Mecha Godzilla creation, which is, you know, if they do season two, obviously that's where I would like to see it go. You have to have something like a Mothra in a season two. But yeah, there's a lot of cool new designs for creatures here. And I will say I even like the Godzilla, the Gyuro Goji designs, I would say more than the equivalent Shin Godzilla phases.
I also agree.
It is first very similar to the part of its name. It came from a whale-like creature in Godzilla Aquatilus, I believe is the name of it. And then it turns into Godzilla Amphibia, where it is able to kind of like crawl out of the ocean and onto land. I think there's only a single episode before it transforms into its final form, where it's got kind of like stubby front legs and looks probably the most dinosaur like. And then let's talk about Godzilla Ultima, the final form of this big G. What do you think about, you know, we've had so many different Godzilla designs over the years. This is a pretty unique one.
Yes. And one that, like, again, the first time I watched the show, I was a little kind of on the Ultima design, like the big kind of like hingy mouth and all that stuff. But like
the big thunder thighs.
Yeah. Big old thunder thighs. But the more I sit with the show, and especially the more like I rewatch it, the more I'm super into this, just being like completely. I think when it first came out, because of how disappointing the other Godzilla trilogy was, I did want something resembling a little bit more of a traditional Godzilla, but kind of being able to step back out of the moment and especially come back to the show, which I already absolutely adored. I mean, I was out the gate, like just singing the praises of the show. I have really come around on it, especially like sitting more with, you know, Shin Godzilla and thinking of this as more quote unquote my Shin Godzilla. And this being kind of a better version of that idea in terms of the Godzilla character, because while Godzilla feels like less a character as he is in Shin Godzilla, the mythological importance of Godzilla is still intact. And I think that is what kind of saves this version of Godzilla, because the Godzilla means something in this universe, whereas Shin Godzilla still treats him as just like, oh yeah, it's just a weird animal that popped up. Mm-hmm. And this has so much more involved. And it's like, you find out there's like, you know, 80 years of like kind of hush-hush conspiracy behind it and all this cool stuff that continually unravels. Like watching this show is such a treat.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will say the first time I got through with it, I was absolutely in love. I enjoyed it more the second time.
Same.
And it's one of those things, just like, you know, watching David Lynch films or Twin Peaks, like you might need a video on YouTube explaining some of the concept, explaining what's happening in some of the episodes. And maybe that's a failing of the script. I think it's good not to hold the audience's hand and allow them to rediscover stuff. I think part of it is also, there's not really a lot of downtime. There's some like fun stuff with the Otaki factory and like the the folks that work there, Goro Itachi and his workshop and stuff, and those characters. But there's not a lot of, like, you know, there's not a beach episode in this. It is them going through this mystery hard, fast, you know?
I would have liked something where, like, it was just like Haburo and Yun kind of goofing around town for a day, or
they don't really meet until the second to last episode. Like, they talk online.
You're talking about Mei Kamino. I'm talking about Yun and Haburo.
I'm talking about Mei and Yun. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
The two main workers of the Itachi factory. We get some fun stuff with them
at the very beginning,
their relationship, but not a whole lot.
But that said, I think to talk on what you were talking about, and like, oh, you almost need like a video explanation. I like a show that actually is smarter than me. You know, I like a show that's using big ideas and does require you to, like, hey, watch it again. You know, watch it later. Mm-hmm. Because I think like, and I think David Lynch was a great comparison, because like watching David Lynch films, especially something like a Mulholland Drive, like each time you watch it, you get more from it. You pick up other things. You may not quote unquote get it fully, but I think you come to more of an understanding. And some of the insane scientific concepts are very heady and sometimes over my head. But each time you watch something like this, you grasp more. And I love a show that strives to be that smart. And this one often succeeds to me, because there are plenty of shows that like try to be that smart and are not. But I love that about this show. I think it actually encourages re-listening or rewatching, encourages conversation, because there's so many granular details in every episode. And I mean, we talked about, like, you know, plushes and reference. There's so many Godzilla references, like, throughout the background, on people's cell phones, in the end credits. There's so many crazy things happening at all times that, like, it practically requires you to rewatch it. Not to get it or enjoy it, but, like, just to, like, each time you're going to get more and more from it, or you're going to see something you didn't see before, which is great. Like, I didn't clock, like, one of the things about the show that I thought was neat is that it does include, like, other monsters that we don't ever see or still haven't seen. Like, there's a great Baragon cell phone case there, you know?
One of the fun things of going through the Wikizilla page on this film is they have a gallery of photos. So they've screen grabbed a lot of stuff from the series, but that's also where you can find sketches, some of the original sketches for the kaiju. And drawn by a few different hands, but as well as some of the promotional materials that they sent out. They actually filmed, or I guess drew some bits for the trailer, which didn't actually make it to the show. So they're pulling ideas from movie trailers for that same tactic. I will say the author, the writer of this script is Toe Injo, who is primarily a science fiction author, and I think hard sci-fi for the most part. So that's why I think it's a very technical script. He was originally supposed to do just the tech script aspect of it, but they enjoyed kind of like what he was putting out, even with the characters. So they were going to bring in someone else. They decided to just stick with him. I'm very excited to find out he is one of the writers on the next Ghost in the Shell adaptation, which I think is probably a very good. I mean, if it's even half as interesting as this show, I'm going to watch it, you know, and I've not checked into a Ghost in the Shell series in some time. But the director is Atsushi Takahashi, who hasn't done a ton of feature films, but the previous one to this movie was a Doraemon film. And I really thought Doraemon was like a cartoon from the past in Japan. They're making like a Doraemon movie every year in Japan. Like, it is like an institution, I think, is like a summer or like a Christmas Doraemon movie for the family. And his did very well, made a good amount of money. And I think that's kind of why Toho was cool, basically giving him a blank check to do what he wanted with this show. And, you know, sometimes it works out and sometimes like the animated film series is just doesn't. Two animation studios worked together in putting the animation together in the show. I'm guessing one side, Orange, did the 3D animation, and Bones, it's the other Japanese animation studio, who've, I think, worked with the director before in another one of his films, Space Dandy.
Well, and also, like, Bones has quite the resume.
Yeah. Full Metal Alchemist is a main one.
Gosh, I wonder who likes
Brotherhood. What?
I said, I wonder who loves Full Metal Alchemist.
I've read it once before. Soul Eater is another big one by them. Oh, you got some ink there.
Yeah.
Some Full Metal Alchemist ink.
Like, my first tattoo was a Full Metal Alchemist tattoo.
It looks like they worked on Mob Psycho and the My Hero Academia movies as well. So they've, as a production studio, kept very, very busy since
well, finishing. And this. I mean, that is something I think we need to talk about, is the animation quality in this show is awesome. I love the hand-drawn, especially with the kind of thick line style. There is mm-hmm. something so classic about the way the hand-drawn animation looks. And the way they worked with the 3D and computer animation was, I just thought, like a masterstroke. I think the show is just stunningly produced.
And it is very colorful. Like, there's a lot that takes place at night or in kind of like red mist covered action sequences towards the end. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, the characters are, I was surprised, very colorful, you know, besides the AI robot being like a bright yellowish orange dog.
Okay.
I remember when the Otaki factory jackets went on sale online. I was like,
I want one of those jackets so bad.
Really tempted. Yeah, it's great. I just love the smiling Jet Jaguar on the back. But yeah, they're just bright characters, brightly drawn. May has kind of purple hair. Sometimes it's a little pinkish, but, and then Yoon is, does he just have white hair?
Yeah, he's got white hair.
White early. Yeah. Jaguar,
I've
obviously.
I've had plenty of friends that have that situation.
Yeah.
Like, that more like completely white by the age of 23.
Jet Jaguar is the standout, I think, from the show animation wise. And, you know, he's basically the hero towards the end. And
I love that Jet Jaguar got like a comeback. I've always loved Jet Jaguar. You know, I love Jet Jaguar. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think one Christmas Patrick gifted me a Jet Jaguar.
And I really do like the old design.
When this one came out.
Yeah. Well, when this one came out, I was like, oh, they did a cool, like, what if an engineer, and this, the series takes place like 10 years in the future, I guess, when it came out. It's supposed to take place in 2030. So,
yeah,
you know, we can pass on some stuff. Like, this guy made a full mecha robot, like in his little laboratory in Chiba. But yeah, it's believable because it doesn't work very well at first. And it's not until it gets some AI upgrades and they're working on it throughout the show. I love that it gets a weapon in the form of one of the claws of, or no, it's a backspike of Anguirus, right? That they turn into a sick glaive looking weapon for the robot. It goes through a lot of cool adaptations, just like Godzilla does in the show. And yeah, every time I rewatch this series, like I said, I find something a little new, a little more fun. And I think I understand it a little bit better, but I do have to go back and, like I said, watch that YouTube video somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, there's some moments where you're like, huh? But, like, I don't know. I love that. I love a show challenging me sometimes, and especially, like, a Godzilla show that, like, takes the ideas that I think were working with Godzilla in Shin Godzilla and just takes them to, like, a very, very cool level. Like, frankly, this is one of my favorite, like, pieces of Godzilla media.
Mm-hmm. And it, you know, like I said, it's something you can go back to. Around the same time, I was a big fan of when Tenet came out. I saw Tenet in theaters, an empty theater up here during the pandemic.
From what I hear, it probably would have been empty anyway, judging by reactions of that movie.
I I just, you know, a lot of his movies like Inception, you know, you get stuff every time you go back and watch it. And this series
is definitely... That's the one that no one can hear anything.
The audio is definitely goofed up, at least in the theatrical version.
Well, on purpose, too. Like, that's the thing is, like, I remember reading some dumb interview with Christopher Nolan, and he gave his, like, reasoning. I just remember being like, shut up.
I will say, I mean, spoilers, that is also about time travel, the same way this series has time travel in it. And it's one of those things where it's like, once you understand, like, kind of what's happening, you can see elements of kind of the future trying to affect the past here, which is interesting. Miles, I think we've talked a good bit about Shin Godzilla and how this is our Shin Godzilla.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, the various evolution of Godzilla in this series is kind of based on this idea from Shin Godzilla. And it's really the only two pieces of Godzilla media that has this concept. Almost every other one has pre-radiation, you know, Godzilla and post, just like two forms. But yeah, do you like Godzilla being like a weird evolutionary hybrid sea creature?
I like the idea. Like, again, if we're dealing with the idea of kind of a Shin Godzilla type of thing, of something that's a little bit different, a little bit wilder, and this is kind of what I would want from a Godzilla anime is to get a little wild. And in ways that the last trilogy just didn't. I am fine for this particular entity. It's not what I want my standard Godzilla to be, but as something else that exists within the franchise, I am down with it. I love exploring other aspects, but I don't want this to be like the basis of the next Godzilla film you know, I've heard rumblings of like, oh yeah, they want to make a Shin Godzilla sequel. I'm like, well, please don't. You made it. Just make a second
Godzilla
season
of singular point. Make a live action Godzilla singular point.
Down 100% down. You could easily like cobble this together for a 2-hour movie.
I will watch it for sure. Yeah, I think, you know, the main criticisms folks had. Rotten Tomatoes has this at a critic score of 56%.
Morons.
Average rating of a 5.1 from audiences. I think it fares a little bit better in some places. But yeah, I can understand critics maybe watching a few episodes and like not getting it. The first few episodes are slow, I will say.
I guess. I mean, you start with this fun little like kind of weird tales investigation and I'm in. Like, I don't know. I get it. You want some kaiju action right away, and this show is not that. But
the first episode
is David Lynch's Godzilla.
The first episode is only 23 minutes. Like, they're pretty short episodes, so I feel like, you know, within the first few, you get the Rodan versus Jed Jaguar fight. So
yeah, and I mean, I can understand people not liking it because it's not what they want. Like, I get that. If you just want, like, the monsters that you know and love to be the stars of the show, I get it. I respect it. That is fine. But I don't want to hear anyone say that the show is bad or not good, because that is completely incorrect to me. Because, like, having a preference of, yeah, I want to see the monsters, you know, as I know them, and maybe with some slight variation in animation, you know, either wreck Tokyo or fight each other, I get that. I fully get that. And you know what? I want to see that too. I want to see some animation studio just like knock a good kaiju battle out of the park like that. At the same time, I don't think that necessitates like disliking or slagging this show for being something very different and off the wall. I think this show takes a big swing. I think it knocks it out of the park personally. And I don't think that you can argue that this show is bad based off of its story and characters and everything. I certainly can see people not liking it because it's not what they want to see from the franchise, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Like I said, it does a little bit better on some of the other kind of reviewer sites. And like I said, I think this is one where people go back to is kind of a sleeper hit.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, I personally, it just... it's so much more interesting than the three animated films.
Like, oh my gosh. I mean,
and they're not like a crazy, I mean, this is maybe like an hour more of content.
Yeah, it's 13 episodes. It's not super long.
But yeah, and like they're pretty short. They're like 23 minutes each. So
it's like my time with a whole thing in 13 episodes.
Sorry, you broke up there a second for me. You said,
oh, I said that's my 13 episode series. It tells a complete story. Oh, I love it. Love it.
13 episodes is a good amount. I feel like 8 is just too short for most shows, and 24 now feels too long for a lot of them. But
I own so many like kind of short form shows or one season shows, and I'm like, yeah, that's my sweet spot. Like, I get that some shonen style shows, your Food Wars, your Hunters, your One Pieces, sure. But like when it comes to most anime, a couple of seasons, complete story, give me some slice of life pauses in between, and I am good.
The hilariously, a lot of the kaiju designs for this show, which happens in the film world of Godzilla as well, were spoiled by Bandai toy announcements.
Yeah, as is often the case.
And it's just like the worst way to see a kaiju design is like, especially in the packaging where it's like not even facing forward. You're just seeing like the side of them. I want to say like a lot of people got Mecha Godzilla spoiled in the most recent iteration. I think
they got Mecha Godzilla spoiled. And then in the New Empire, they spoiled. Oh, Suko, was that its name?
The little
white thing.
Yes. As well as
creature.
I mean, almost every character I feel like was toy spoiled, but yeah, the first
Shimo,
ones,
Shimo, that's what it was.
Oh, the dragon, yes, as well.
Yeah,
Anguirus and Mando were spoiled, I think, in toy form about a month before the show dropped, and eventually Godzilla Ultima form was as well, and people were like, what is this thing? Big old chunky Godzilla. Miles, are you ready to get to rating this film, talking about...
Yeah, I think we already said what our ratings were, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm right up there. It's a 10 out of 10 for me. I think this is the best non-film Godzilla property. I know that's not like a huge pool that we're talking about, but, you know, it goes a little beyond that. I think this is probably, as far as television series go, the best kaiju property, I at least up there with Neon Genesis Evangelion. That one has a few more episodes to tell its story. I feel like if season two of this comes out, this could edge that out. And then, of course, you know, we are going to talk eventually about Monarch Legacy of Monsters, which I think has got an attempt to knock this one off. But for me, yeah, this is way up there. There's Stranger Thing like mysteries. There's new kaiju designs for old monsters. You mentioned you really like the animation style. I think this is how you do a transformative Godzilla, like Shin Godzilla. Yeah, and it might just be that we went from, like, in my opinion, just abjectly very bad Godzilla properties from Netflix to little more than 3 years later, this show, which really knocked
perfection.
My box off the first time I watched it. Yeah, so you agree you're also at kind of like a 10 out of 10 for this, because
without a doubt, I love this show.
I'm updating our Letterboxd.
Yeah, please do. This is, I don't know if it's in my top 10 anime of all time. I'd probably have to think about that, but it's in contention because I love this show so much. But that's a crowded space. But yeah. It is certainly in the conversation.
I feel like if I think of this as just a miniseries and not like an ongoing series, I can give it even more points.
Right.
Because as much as I love season two, this first season was a complete story that they told and it worked very well. So yeah, a lot of fun. Definitely, if you have Netflix and you like Godzilla, give this a watch. You know, we could spend another hour just talking about the end credits references. There are
so
like 100 different kaiju and human characters referenced in the end credits of these shows. It's so incredibly respectful of the history of Godzilla in a way that the animated films, I keep harping how bad they were, but there are not only like almost every single classic Showa and Heisei kaiju represented in these end credits. They even have figures of the Zone Fighter and Zone Fighter family and just human characters from all over the series. Yeah, it's so fun to like pause and kind of go look through. People have gone online and basically numbered and named just about every single reference in those end credits. And I went through that one time and I was like, wow, people love this show and the creators love this series that did this end credits. And pretty good song too. I liked it.
Yeah, I'm a fan of the music in this show. And I know that there was a vinyl release for this soundtrack. I need to track that one down. And there is a Good Smile Pelops 2 action figure, and it's pretty darn cute. The little puppy avatar. I might have to grab that one. It even comes with the little robot form, which I thought was pretty great. And the Funko Pop of Mei Kamino comes with a little version of him as well, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I meant to send it to you, I think, Christmas last year. It's just been sitting on my shelf.
And you literally, like, sent me stuff, like, from your Japan trip. And just, like,
and I swear it was in, like, the two-send pile at some point. But, oh, I rearranged my entire office. And I think it just got shuffled around. So I'm either keeping this until this Christmas or... Yeah, I don't keep stuff in boxes.
That's okay. I have stuff often. I've been meaning to send you for like a year as well, so don't worry about it.
Where can
I have a present for Drew I bought for him 4 years ago.
You've seen him since then, haven't you?
I've seen him since then. Person? And like it is literally like 2 feet away from me at all times. That's funny. It's so funny.
Well, Miles, where can folks find us if they want to chat about Godzilla Singular Point?
If you want to talk about Godzilla Singular Point, then come on and send us a little email at kaijuversushistory.com. You can reach out to us on Blue Sky, Kaiju Versus History. Go to our website, kaijuversushistory.com. Please rate and review our show, comment, share with your friends. Let us know what you think. Check out our Letterboxd account, Kaiju Versus History, to see all reviews and watch our list of films. And go to cosmiccrit.com. That's our sister show. We play Starfinder in an actual play podcast with our friends. But we soon have a Discord.
Starfinder 2nd edition soon.
Yep. So we have a Discord there, which has a Kaiju Versus History channel, which several listeners of the show have joined. And you can talk to us pretty much all day while we're bored at work and talk about like your favorite kaiju movies. We've had some people who are like really, really excited about the recent theatrical releases of Shin Godzilla. And I gotta say, despite being kind of like lukewarm on it as a Godzilla film, but loving it as a political kaiju film, I have been kind of down on the idea of a black and white version for quite some time until I watched the trailer and I was like, oh, this actually works.
Yeah, looks cool.
I didn't think it would.
I if they had a showing near me, I probably would have gone. But
yeah, it doesn't look like I'm getting one this weekend, which is I think it's when it's supposed to debut. So yeah, I'm bummed about that.
Yeah, end of August. Alrighty.
So what are we doing next week, Patrick?
Miles, thank you for asking. Thank you, all of our listeners. We're going to catch you next time when we're really scraping the bottom of the asylum barrel now for a somewhat late look at Godzilla versus Kong. But what do you do when you have no good ideas for how to ape that famous lizard? That's right. You just make up about 90 minutes or so of monkey madness and whatever else you can think of. So please join us next week as we try to keep sane and join us for History versus Ape versus Monster.